is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Grizzlies win preseason game number one. Reaction from Mark Gasol, Mike Conley, Wade Baldwin, David Fizdale, and yours truly. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our first ever postgame edition of Locked On Grizzlies as we give you a recap of tonight's 102-97 preseason victory for the Grizzlies over the Orlando Magic. I am Peter Edmiston. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Edmiston. Nice to be part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And it was nice to have basketball back in FedEx Forum tonight as the Grizzlies knocked off the Magic 102-97 behind a very balanced effort, but some standout performances. It was really terrific to see Marc Gasol back on the court. You're going to hear from Mark coming up in just a few moments. Wade Baldwin with a very strong opening effort for a rookie. Mike Conley back out there on the court and coaching. Yeah, coaching. That's what happens when you make $153 million. They ask you to do more than one thing out there. Mike Conley coaching for a stretch in the third quarter. So all of that still to come here. Locked On Grizzlies. You will hear from Wade Baldwin. You will hear from Mike Conley. You will hear from Marc Gasol. You will hear from David Fizdale. Going to have a lot of sound for you after these games. You can get a feel for the locker room. Get a feel for what the game was like. This was a typical first preseason game, which means a lot of garbage time at the end. But in the first half, I think there were probably a little more meaningful action than I even expected into that game, because you saw David Fizdale working on some different things, some offensive combinations, some style of play things that he wants to emphasize right out of the gate. And we saw that. The Grizzlies playing a little bit faster, initiating offense a little bit more quickly, using pick and pops and flares for the bigs that we haven't always seen, certainly more spread. You saw three-pointers from Marc Gasol, Jermichael Green, Zach Randolph, all of them in those roles, really trying to spread the floor as much as possible. You saw Mike Conley playing his first meaningful game in some time, and I think looking pretty good in the process. Same thing for Marc Gasol. And he came through unscathed from a health standpoint. What I really liked, if you look at the advanced stats, whatever that means for you in a preseason game, you know, Mark played 14 minutes of action and had a usage rate of 48%. There was no messing around out there. This was, let's get Marc Gasol as much action as you possibly can in the time that he's out there. And you saw Mark tee up a couple of threes as well. A terrific outing from James Ennis, who continued his really good training camp with another very solid effort. He was far and away the best net rating guy on the floor for the Grizzlies. He had the best plus minus on the floor for the Grizzlies, whatever that means in preseason. But in 22 minutes, he was active on the boards, had a couple steals. After getting into very early foul trouble, he settled down and was terrific. And he's making a big push, I think, early on for some significant minutes in the regular season rotation. In yesterday's preview pod, we talked about the backup point guard battle, and it was an interesting one tonight. Wade Baldwin against Andrew Harrison. They did play some together in what I dubbed to, I'm certain, was universal acclaim, the hairball lineup. Feel free to hold your applause while you're listening to the pod. They played a little bit together, but if you look at their individual matchups, Baldwin played far more at the point than did Harrison tonight. And I would say the advantage so far would go to Baldwin. He had a really terrific outing, other than some turnovers, only a couple of them being live ball turnovers. I think he had three, live ball turnovers, two charges that were in there. But otherwise, he was perfect from the field, 5 of 5, 1 of 1 from 3, finished with 15 points, 4 assists, was pretty good in terms of his ability to run the offense, Right out of the gate, he threw the ball down to Zach Randolph in the post, which was the right thing to do. Got his first assist and got Zach's only bucket of the night. You'll hear Wade talking about that coming up in just a moment. But I would say, for the most part, he had the advantage. You saw Andrew Harrison, though, hold his own. He had six assists. That was a team high for the night. And some of them coming, you know, really, really late on when the game had devolved into the super special preseason garbage time. He was pretty good, though. And he was pretty good off the ball, which is not his strong suit necessarily, but it may be one of the few ways that he gets minutes, depending on how the rotation goes. So he was good, but Baldwin was better. And I would say, in terms of the backup point guard advantage, Wade Baldwin after game one. Let's hear what David Fizdale had to say about Wade Baldwin in his performance.
He wants to be great, but he really works at it. He's got a real grit to him about it, a chip on the shoulder about it, and so he really fits us. And he's allowing himself to be coached by myself and staff. I think Nick Van Exel is doing a great job with him, and he's also letting his teammates help him. And so I was really happy with his performance tonight.
I had a chance to talk to Wade Baldwin right after the game, and first thing I asked him was about how he felt in his first professional game. He played in a lot of big college games, but even though this is a preseason game, it was his first preseason game, so I wanted to know what his mindset was going into this one.
Just play the right way. That's the type of player I want to be. That's what I've been my whole life. I just want to play the right way. And tonight I feel like I did so outside of the five or six turnovers I had.
The first sequence, dumped the ball in the post to Zach. Was that just kind of a, hey, you know what, let's do the smart thing here right off the bat?
Coach actually set out Zebo's stat line for his career. So when you have Zebo down there and it's give him the ball, it's a process. I got to learn my plays. Maybe down the line, 5-6 years from now, get Wade the ball. But for now, and get him if he's on that block. Make sure you get Zebo the ball. And I think that's what separates me from the other rookies that came in. I preached it all through the pre-draft, and it was on full display tonight. But you know, this is only preseason game one. I got 86, 80, 90, hopefully games, whatever amount to the NBA Finals to keep progressing with that.
Did you like the lineup with Andrew alongside and playing off the ball?
So we played that in summer league, and that was very well. And Andrew's a very good player. The way he can, get in the paint, create for others. I do the same thing. The way we shoot the ball, it's complementary.
Summer league, there was a lot of experimentation going on, but it looked like you were out there a little more comfortable in terms of your shot and also the drives to the basket.
Summer league, I was trying to do different things, trying to test out a post game, test out, just do different things here. Stuck to playing the right way of basketball, buying into the team, building our culture.
Was it nice to see Mike Conley out there coaching you on the right, walking along the sideline?
Yeah, Mike Conley needed to get his coaching skills up, but just kidding. Yeah, we were playing so well at the time. He tried drawing up a play, and he's just like, I'm not drawing up, just keep playing the way you guys are playing.
Yeah, if you didn't see it, Mike Conley was actually, well, I'll let Mike tell the story of how his coaching debut in the third quarter came about.
I did not know it was coming. He just said, Mike. And I thought I was going to go back in the game, and he said, I need you to coach. He handed me the clipboard, and I'm like,
is that what happens when you get a raise?
Yeah, I guess so. I said, all right, man, I'll do any job. What's up? So I stood up there, and we had a play drawn up already, and they went out there and ran it. Like I said, we went on like a 6-0 run. I don't know what it was, but I can say that's because of me. I got on them a little bit, but they played well. And in the timeout, I got in the timeout. I had the clipboard and had another play drawn up. So
what'd you say in the timeout?
I told them to keep doing what they're doing. Make me look good now, don't.
Did you drop the play?
I didn't need to draw the play. I said, look, we're gonna run this play. A play we already had. I don't know how to write the X's and O's and all that stuff yet. I'm not a coach like that, but I knew that there's a play that in everybody's mind, like, let's run this. Boom. And then we ran it.
I'm a big fan of players coaching. Now, I think every preseason game should be required to have some kind of player coach. It breaks up the monotony, makes it a lot more fun. It was wild just to see Mike all of a sudden jump up there and start coaching. But truthfully, David Fizdale said it was kind of a bigger plan. He wants to help get Mike acclimated with the offense and to really take that leadership role to a next level. That's one way to do it. I've never really seen that before, and I think it's an interesting approach. It's one of the interesting things about David Fizdale so far. Fizdale seems to really value that sort of communication, togetherness, all that kind of thing, and players are buying in a way, thus far at least, that we did not see with Dave Yeager, that we haven't seen in quite a while. Now, it's early on, and there's a long way to go before the regular season, so no need to put the cart before the horse. It does seem, though, that there is more buy-in that we've seen in years past. I thought that was evident on the court tonight as well. The effort level was very high, even by preseason standards. It was, you're going to have a little let-off, but I think everybody played harder than you might have thought. And we saw, you know, not just Wade Baldwin, but James Ennis, Jermichael Green, I mentioned, both guys playing 22 minutes or so. Brandon Wright's 21 minutes were interesting. And we saw a fair bit of him working the post as well, which is something definitely a level of experimentation that you want to have in the preseason. He's going to have to develop, and he's going to have to occasionally carry the load and may have to deal with some low post every now and then. I mean, he's typically pick and roll, dive to the basket, but there may be times when you want to see him in that role. So it's good in preseason to get a few reps in. And I would say for the most part, it was relatively positive. There were a couple nice moves, some good finishes. Wasn't perfect, but it was okay. We also saw, you know, the main thing to me was seeing Marc Gasol back on the court healthy. That was huge, and you'll hear from Mark coming up in just a moment. I do want to mention, before we get to Mark, one other small detail, and it wasn't small at the time. DJ Stephens is an absolute freak, monster. Dude, he's got to be in the dunk contest. I don't think he's going to make this team. He'll be part of the Iowa Energy. But even if he's part of the Iowa Energy and he's not part of the Memphis Grizzlies, he needs to be part of the dunk contest, and not just the D-League dunk contest. The man needs to go up against Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. His dunks are insane, and his hops are incredible. I asked Andrew Harrison after the game if it was possible, because, you know, Andrew played with DJ last year in the Iowa Energy a lot, and I asked him if it's possible to throw one high enough as an alley-oop that DJ can't go get it. And he said, I guess if I tried to, I could. But for a normal pass, no, I can't do it. I don't think you can. Guy can get up like insane. The way when he messed up his finger on the one dunk, he fell down on his backside. Crowd went completely insane. He's just for entertainment value alone. The guys, he should be prominent somewhere. Not going to be on this team, I don't think, but somewhere the guy's worth watching. He was absolutely sensational. Now, to me, as I said, the main event really was Marc Gasol getting back out there and playing for the first time in a long time. I watched him, and you may have seen on my Twitter feed, at Peter Edmiston, I posted some video of Mark working on the three-pointer in the pregame. He deployed a couple of them in the game. Neither went in, but you saw the different ways that he's going to approach that shot, a couple of different ways that the Grizzlies went about getting him those threes. And you saw him in the secondary break, too, during the blue and white scrimmage. It's certainly going to be part of his game. So good news number one for Grizzly fans, Marc Gasol came through unscathed. Good news number two, you're seeing him work that three-point shot in, and he's pretty confident that he's going to make it a part of the repertoire. Here is a little bit of my conversation with Marc Gasol.
Coach Fizdale wanted four threes from you. You got two. Did you like the way that the flow of the outside?
I only play one half, so we multiply by two. Seems fair. I would have got my quarter, right? It would have evened out. Yeah, you got to get comfortable with it. It creates more space for these guys. It makes the big guys come out, and hopefully I'll make some, so just get comfortable with it, and, I rushed them today. I got a little too excited. But you know, eventually they're gonna come down. It's gonna be just like my 15, 17 footers, which is automatic, and it just most of them go in.
Physically, how do you feel?
I'm really good, really good. Obviously, we have a big load of in training camp, running, and going through a lot of practices and stuff like that. So your legs feel a little heavier than it would normally. But other than that, I'm, really good.
Is this kind of a vindication of the way you took a patient approach and you really took your time with the whole rehab, and now you see in a game situation that you've come through unscathed?
Yeah, and I don't know, you can pinpoint the reasoning, but you like to think that you did the right thing, and the important thing would give me confidence how the food reacts to all the loads that we put in, and that would give me the most confidence. So finish the game, I'm not limping out of the locker room. That's a good sign. And normally in the mornings I wake up great. So that's that gives me a lot of confidence to just keep pushing and doing the things that we're doing and keep leading the team.
Mark was in great spirits after the game. Big smile, very positive, a lot of good energy, joking around. It was a happier Mark Gasol than I remember seeing at almost any time last year in the locker room. I talked to Mark a lot in the locker room. And he was a pretty grumpy guy for most of last season for a lot of different reasons. This was a much more positive guy. That's a really good sign for the Grizzlies going forward if he is in that frame of mind. I should also point out, too, that the Grizzlies have kind of rearranged their locker room a little bit. They've changed it up. And I would think because of what David Fizdale wants, some of the communication that he talks about, they've changed it where there's a couple of boards up, a couple of video screens that serve as like information boards for schedules and for other messages. They have their gigantic TV where they watch film and all that together in over on a different side where lockers were on that one side. It was kind of where Matt Barnes was last year and Costa Kufos was when he was with the team. It was in that side of the Mario Chalmers was over there. They've replaced that, and they've kind of changed and added a little space, actually, between lockers. So in some of the guys are kind of rearranged. It's different, but it reflects. They've really renovated and changed a lot at FedEx Forum behind the scenes. It's pretty evident that they're putting a lot of money into this, and that's nice to see. And I think it's nice to have a revitalized looking locker room for sure. Grizzlies will be mostly off tomorrow, a day of recovery for a lot of the players. And then Grizzlies will be back in practice on Wednesday, then in preseason action Thursday against the Atlanta Hawks. Tomorrow on the pod, you are going to hear from the president of business operations for the Memphis Grizzlies, Jason Wexler. I talked with Jason today about Grind City Media, and we had a lengthy discussion, a very, very candid discussion about a lot of the conflicts that will arise and have already arisen. You're going to want to hear it. Just trust me on that one. That'll be the pod for tomorrow. So thank you, as always, for checking it out, for downloading it. I would love it if you would subscribe. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Click that subscribe button. That definitely helps. Reviews are great, especially good ones, right? Let's get those positive stars going. Appreciate all the feedback, too. Keep that coming. Questions, all that good stuff. Just fire it off at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. Many thanks to all of you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.